Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Hey all, welcome to the Week 13 Rankings episode of the IDP Show with me, Jace Abbey. As I do each week, I'm going to be breaking down my weekly rankings, digging into some of the best and worst plays at each position for the slate of games ahead. Now, it says a lot about what I think about this week's guest that I've been nagging him to come on for a while now. It's not that he's elusive or pod shy, he's just a very busy guy, and he's so good at what he does that he's in such high demand. So I'm super pleased to get him on. A huge welcome to you, Mr. Kyle Bellafuel, IDP contributor at Football Guys. How are things, my man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on, Jace. And when you said that, it's not that I'm elusive. You definitely watch my high school tape, football and basketball both, because I ain't got much for moves. My feet are made of cement. So, but oh man, it's been a busy few months for me, and I'm happy that we finally got to get together, man. I've been really looking forward to talking ball with you and hanging out.
Oh, same. Look, how's your fantasy season going so far?
It's been pretty good, actually. My main dynasty league that's been running for like 13 or 14 years, I already locked a playoff spot, so that's good. I don't have to worry about the bye again coming up here in week 13. But yeah, I got a couple of those IDP show best balls where I'm doing all right. And yeah, for the most part, I'm in the running in most of my leagues. There's a few stinkers out there. It's just the way it goes. I got one dynasty team I'm rebuilding and trying to sell and get some picks and young players. So that's fun, too, to kind of have a little bit of that in the mix as well. But, yeah, it's been fun. And I'm looking forward to this finish these last few weeks as we're on the playoffs. How about you?
Yeah, we're getting to crunch time, aren't we? But, yeah, I'm doing all right. It's kind of feast or famine. Being hit by the injury bug in a few. Yeah. And got down by some big names. We're in one, I think, best ball together.
Okay.
I think you might be second. I'm third. And we're both chasing Jeff, who looked like he might be running away for a while there. So got my eye on you, Kyle. Yeah. I'm gunning for you.
And we're both coming for Jeff, so you better watch out too.
Yeah, definitely. Watch out, Jeff. But yeah, look, I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to diving into these rankings with you. So yeah, let's dive straight in. I'd like you to kick us off actually with a linebacker who I think you were hyping for week 13. Who you got?
Yeah, right on, man. So my linebacker that I'm on this week is Mr. Azeez Al-Shaair from Tennessee. Al-Shaair had been balling. He had 51 tackles in weeks 5 through 9. So he really started to hit his stride there. Cooled off a little bit with just 11 tackles, only 3 solos in weeks 10 and 11. We saw a little a dip in snaps in week 11. That was likely due to Tennessee getting rolled by Jacksonville. So kind of the deal there. But however, there's no doubt, you know, he's the lead guy for the Titans defense. And he rebounded with a nice, you know, 8-tackle outing in week 12. So that was nice to see after those down weeks. But in week 13, Al-Shaair has a big divisional game on tap against Indianapolis. They're top 10 in points allowed to the linebacker position via the Football Guys points allowed chart using Football Guys scoring. And Indy is also top 10 in tackles allowed via John Macri's beautiful charts that he shares with us on Twitter. Love those charts. So shout out and hugs to John. You're the best. You know, the last time Al-Shaair faced the Colts back in week 5, he racked up 15 tackles, 7 solos. So he had a big week 5 against Indy. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor is likely out this week, but he didn't play in week 5 either. So, you know, there's that. And so, yeah, I really like El Shaair as a strong play this week. And I think there's a real solid chance he finishes as an LB1 after, you know, those couple of down weeks after that, you know, mid season where he was rolling and we were like, this is what we were hoping for. So I think he gets back on track in a nice game this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Good shout. Good shout. And first and foremost, yeah. Also tip to John for those charts. I use them myself. I try to mention it each week. I try to give with credit where credit's due. Al Shaair. He's having a good year, isn't he? I'm not a huge fan of the player himself, but he's a great example of, you know, you know, how we don't need these guys to be good necessarily to remain amongst the most productive sort of fantasy assets, providing they hold down that role, right? So, and he's exactly that. There's no clear indication that he's going to be sort of relinquishing that role. Like you said, he played a few snaps fewer than he would have done normally back in week 11, but, you know, it was a blowout. So, it's nothing to read into too much, and I think it's a good call.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, I'm right with you, though. Like, El Shaair, he's the prototypical kind of, like, he doesn't have to be the greatest NFL linebacker, but he's going to get you some tackles, you know, and get us some points. It's just one of those deals. But, yeah, let's go. Let's hope, you know, he repeats that week 5 performance that he had, 15 tackles last time against the Colts.
Oh, yeah, that would be something.
We'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. Good shout. So the linebacker I want to feature in this spot for week 13 is Jack Campbell. He's my LB41 this week, and one spot behind JOK and one ahead of Jelani Tavai. I mean, we all know it's been a frustrating year for his fantasy managers, right? He hasn't unseated Alex Anzalone from that full-time role, and he's fallen or remained behind Derek Barnes as well most of the season. As is the case with most sort of rookie linebackers, he's clearly got room to improve, especially in pass coverage. Lions fans will know what I'm talking about. he's just simply got to play better to become the player we all hoped he would be, but it's early. And more importantly, the wrist injury to Anzalone, the one that he suffered against was a Green Bay, kind of creates an opportunity for Campbell to get more involved, and he's got to use this window to make a real statement, I think. I'm a bit tentative about recommending him as a starter this week. As I said earlier, Barnes has been more involved than Campbell so far, but even if Barnes assumes Anzalone's role and Campbell slides into Barnes's role, we're still going to be talking about somewhere in the region of about 60-80% snap share, possibly more. And that, for me, would place him in that low-end LB3, LB4 territory, especially in a week like this one where we've got a much smaller pool of players because we've got, what, 6 teams on a bye. I kind of like his outlook for the week, maybe for the next few weeks if Anzalone misses more time. So that's where my head's at. Kyle, what do you think of this situation in Detroit as far as these linebackers are concerned?
Yeah, no, I like this call a lot. And I really liked, you know, what you said about with Anzalone being out with his wrist, it creates an opportunity for Jack Campbell to really, you know, anoint that he's ready to play a bigger part in the defense and prove himself. Because the Lions are, you know, they just lost to Green Bay, you know, they're on a little bit of a downward trend. I still think they're the best team in the NFC North. There's no doubt about it. They're going to win the division and whatnot, but they want to shore things up, and Jack Campbell could really, you know, make a name for himself by playing some really good football here while Anzalone's out, who's been their leader. And also I'm with you, you know, Derek Barnes had kind of been seeing some decent volume lately. You know, he hit 90%, 95% the 1 week. And like you said, he's at least been 60, 70, maybe 80. So if Campbell gets in those numbers, you know, he's in the range, especially with 6 teams on bye. He's in the range where you're not scared to put him in if you have to this week, because you're taking on a lead guy. And if he slides in that Barnes role, he'll be on there enough. And, you know, Campbell has the game to be IDP productive. He's that tackle machine, Iowa linebacker. He's big, he's physical, long arms. We'd like to see him step it up a little bit. And this is, I love that, you know, it creates a nice opportunity for him to prove himself a little bit.
Yeah, it's showtime, isn't it, for him now? Mm-hmm. He can really, really take advantage of this this window, and it might shake things up completely. The only thing, so I've got a slight reservation upsetting what's kind of working. They kind of that their hand's been forced a little bit. But yeah, I think when Anzalone comes back, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But
well,
yeah,
maybe if he plays well and puts, you know, maybe get some locks going, and they go with that. He starts rocking that long blonde hair. They'll just slide him into Anzalone's role, and they won't know the difference. And we'll be all better for our dynasty squads, right?
We still get our fill of the Prince of Asgard just in another, another body.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk quick hitters. Give us a quick breakdown of any other linebackers you like this week.
Yeah, I got a couple guys here for quick hitters. Nicholas Moreau for Philadelphia. The Eagles' linebacker room is banged up. N'Kobe Dean's on IR with a foot, I believe it was. Zach Cunningham, he suffered a hamstring injury last week. Sounds like he's going to be out this week. Morrow's coming off a healthy 87 snaps this past week, 92% snap share, racked up 12 tackles, a tackle for loss. Looking as things sit right now, I didn't see if they signed the guy off the couch or not, but he's, you know, the likely lead LB with him and Christian Ellis as the only healthy linebackers in the Philly linebacker room, and they take on San Francisco this week. And Morrow's a nice play as the lead guy there. And then the other guy I had was Jermaine Pratt. I like a little bounce back week for Jermaine Pratt after a slow couple weeks here. You know, the snaps had still been there. He's been 85%, I think, the past few weeks. Decent volume, you know, that he's had nice volume all year, but just a couple of slower weeks after a nice start. But favorable matchup for linebackers against Jacksonville this week. Logan Wilson's dealing with an ankle injury, so Pratt may need to step up a little bit for Cincinnati's D and us IDP managers as well. So,
yep, good shouts. Interesting to see whether, like you say, whether Leonard signs in Philly. Yeah. They kind of need him at this point. But yeah, yeah. I'm refreshing the news every couple of hours, trying to wait and see. But yeah,
we're all waiting.
yeah. I've got a couple of other names on my sort of quick list as well. The first of which is Ernest Jones. He's had some really, really solid weeks, mixed in with some disappointing ones as well. I know he hasn't been fully healthy all year and playing a little bit hampered by that injury. And talking of those down weeks, last week was, you know, probably the worst, as you finished with just four tackles. I think only one of those was solo as well. So, but he only played like 63% of the snaps. Most of the starters were rested in that blowout win over the Cardinals. And I kind of like him to bounce back in what should be an excellent matchup against the Browns, who have allowed a ton of tackles to opposition linebackers. So he's number one. Number two is EJ Speed. And this one's less about sort of projection or matchup. In fact, it's simply based on the fact that he assumed the role that we hoped he would. There was that sort of nagging doubt because of what we saw a couple of weeks back when Segun Alubi appeared from nowhere for 1 week only,
right,
and kind of dominated the snap share alongside or behind, sorry, Franklin. But yeah, it was Speed all the way, and it was just nice to see, reassuring. It was what we expected to see. Yeah. So yeah, him going forward, I think is a pretty solid play there in Indy. So.
No, I like those calls. I like Jones against Cleveland as well. I got him in a couple leagues. I'm pretty excited for him to have a nice weekend. I'm still not sure if Segun Alubi is AI or if he's a real person. Are they just planning him to mess with us? Because we thought it was going to be EJ Speed, and now it's finally EJ Speed. So
yeah,
still trying to figure that out. I'm still skeptical. But
yeah, I gotta be honest. I was like, who?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is this a real thing? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, this week, you know, EJ Speed getting that healthy role was nice. That's what we were hoping for.
Really nice to see. And it kind of just adds to that pool of players. We, you know, the more full-time linebackers we can get in that pool, the better, because it gets really shallow in those 14, 16 team leagues that start, what, three, maybe four positions sometimes. We're kind of desperately scrabbling around trying to find guys. So glad to say there's another one there. It's good.
Absolutely.
Okay, look, so let's move on to the linebackers who are fading this week. Who do you have for us here?
Okay, so my first guy I'm fading is Nate Landman from Atlanta. Landman saw his snap share dip to 74% in week 12 after holding a 93.7 snap share over the previous 3 weeks. This led to his lowest output of just four tackles since stepping into his starting role after Troy Andersen went down. This is the first time Landman has seen his snaps dip after ideal volume, but the timing certainly isn't ideal as we fight for playoff spots down the stretch in our leagues here. Also, I'm just kind of curious, is there a chance we see more three safeties looks? I see DeMarco Helms, logged 38 snaps this week. I haven't had a chance to dig into it, but color me curious, I guess, to check into that a little bit. To go with the snap share dip, Landman's matchup against the Jets isn't ideal this week either. The Jets offense is, bad, to put it nicely. I don't even think Aaron Rodgers could save us with one Achilles, but and they rank bottom five in points allowed to the linebacker position, according to Football Guys Scoring. All this adds up to Landman being more of a, LB3-4 type, for me this week after, those nice weeks coming out of the bye there. It's just a bummer because, like I said, he had those nice weeks coming out of that week 11 bye. So,
yeah. I've also cooled a little bit on Landman this week after just talking him up a little bit last week. like you say, he kind of came off the field a bit more against the Saints than he did in the previous two or three games. They played a lot more sort of single linebacker than they would. Not even a lot more, just sort of 20% or so more. But that is enough to kind of hurt what we've seen from Landman so far. I mean, there's a good chance the Falcons are playing with a lead here, I think, meaning the Jets will be throwing the ball more often. I think it was 38 times last week. And that would mean the Falcons D could look very similar this week to how it looked last week, which is kind of bad news for Landman. And also, obviously, he missed practice on Wednesday with a thigh injury. So that kind of just further adds to the concerns where he's at. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like it. The guy I want to nominate in this spot is Jelani Tavai. He's my LB42, one spot behind Jack Campbell and one ahead of Jameen Davis. And this one's pretty straightforward. It's almost entirely based on snap share. He assumed that every down roll before the Patriots bye in week 10, because obviously Bentley was out with injury. And unsurprisingly, Tavai had his biggest stat line of the year. 8 tackles and a pass breakup, but obviously Bentley returned and was the full-time guy again, and Tavai played fewer than 70% of the snaps as he normally does. His reign as a solid LB3 or even low-end LB2 was like super short-lived, and now he kind of sinks into that sort of LB4 territory again, even this week, again, when we're talking about a really shallow pool of players available. So yeah, this is a no-brainer, right, Kyle?
Yeah, I think you absolutely nailed it, man. The snap share fluctuation, not ideal when Bentley's back. And I struggle with Patriot IDPs as it is. So, yeah, I think absolutely good call, man. And I'm off on Tavai as well.
Yeah. So any other names you want to mention in this section in the quick hitters?
Yeah, first one is Christian Harris from Houston. Harris has had back-to-back full-time shares the past 2 weeks with Denzel Perryman while suspended. He had a nice 12-tackle outing against Jacksonville. It was a nice linebacker matchup each week. Perryman returns this week, and I just don't trust the Houston LB situation or Harris's role enough to roll him out against Denver this week. I'm likely avoiding the Houston linebacker situation if I can, completely outside of Blake Cashman. And David Long in Miami. We've seen some solid volume out of David Long when Jalen Phillips was out earlier in the year. Let's hope Jalen Phillips heals up. Brutal injury, man. I hate to see it. So let's hope he gets better soon and balls out next year. But when he was out early in the year, Long wasn't dealing with Andrew Van Ginkel kind of eating some box snaps on him and kind of fight with him a little bit there. Long had hit that 90%+ snap mark in weeks 4 and 5, had some nice production to go along with it. However, I'm just not going to count on that happening again until I see it. Long has just a 64% snap share over his last 3 games, just 7 tackles over his last 2 games. Me and Josh talked about this, earlier. He's getting outplayed by Jerome Baker. And, while we saw him spike when Phillips was out and Van Ginkel slid to the edge earlier in the season, I just want to see it before I just readily roll him out you know, right away thinking he's going to go right back to that. I understand, like we said, there's six teams on bye. If you have to, you have to. But I'm not just like, oh, he's going to go play 95% of the snaps, you know, instantly. One of those wait and see things for me. Give it a week if I can.
Yeah, right there with you. They both feel like kind of trap players, don't they, for different reasons. Harris because of the big share last week. Long because he might have more of a run this week. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I'd much rather look elsewhere. They're both ranked somewhere in my 40s for the reasons you outlined there. So yeah, right. Avoid the trap.
But like right.
Visions of Admiral Akbar right now, warning us all about not starting David Long, Christian Harris.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Christian Harris and David Long.
It was. But yeah, I mean, my crate hitter list of linebackers I'm not keen on starts with, unsurprisingly, Christian Harris. Great minds, Kyle. For all the reasons you mentioned, don't go into that. Don't go into that trap. Christian Roseboom is the other one. He's been a guy I've kind of leaned on occasionally because of injuries at the linebacker spot, especially in those busy bye weeks. But his snap share has dropped off a little lately. And while some of that might be because the Rams have been involved in some blowouts, I don't think he's that much better than the guys behind him. And they've been getting more looks than normal. So, not a big Roseboom fan. I wasn't before the season started. Kind of surprised to see him play as much as he has. But there's been little else on the roster, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a more even share going forward.
Yeah, that's a great call. I'm with you on Roseboom too. Yeah, it's a bit worrisome. I'm not a big fan of his either, and a bit worried that it could get worse snapshare wise as we go here.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's kind of bounced around. I do top 50 linebackers, and he's one of those guys that's bounced around between sort of the high end 40s and being unranked every week. Yeah. There's a few of them, like the Jack Gibbons, the Isaiah McDuffies, those sort of players. But yeah, Roseboom is sort of at the bottom of that list now for me, really, and trying to avoid him where I can. Right. So let's onto my favorite position group, the defensive lineman. Kyle, who are you keen on in week 13?
All right, man. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Mr. Bradley Chubb from Miami. Chubb has seen ideal volume this season, an 82% snap share on the year. It would actually be the highest snap share season total of his career in seasons where he's played double digit games, if this holds, of course. So volume has been really nice. Chubb's pressure rate is right around the league average at 12.6%. So, you know, he's fine in that department. Failed to take advantage of a nice matchup against the Jets in week 12, but had a four-game sack streak before Miami's week 10 bye with five sacks over those four games. He gets the spiciest of matchups against Washington this week, who have allowed Sam Sack Howell, shout out Josh Raymer for coining that, Sam Sack Howell to get sacked 55 times on the year. I think Chubb is set to break that two-game sack drought he's currently on and is a DL or edge one for me this week. Start your pass rushers against Washington is a theme this year. I'm sure you guys have heard that before. And I think Chubb will be eager to take advantage of this situation for us. One thing is Chubb did show up as a limited participant on the injury report with a knee today. So just keep an eye on that. I didn't see much information on it floating around yet. But and just something to keep an eye on. But if he goes, man, I like Chubb wheels up for week 13 against that Washington Swiss cheese offensive line.
Oh yeah, easy one to agree with here. I've been kind of slow though in coming around to considering Chubb a good edge rusher, and it's a slight hangover from his rookie year when I thought he was a bit fortunate to have as many sacks as he did. But he's won me over since in previous years, but especially with what he's done this year. And this week, I've got him ranked, I think, higher than I've had him ranked all year. I think he's my DL10 or edge 9. This week, that's largely because of what you mentioned, that matchup against Washington. For me, it's Washington, the Giants, and the Jets of late.
Yep.
They're the three every week that I'm like, right, which edge rushers can I find that are playing against those guys? And I'll even start, you know, I'll even find guys on the waivers if in those shallow leagues to start against those teams where I can. So yeah. Like you say, that injury kind of limited him in practice rather than prevented him from practicing. So I'm not overly concerned yet. Yeah. It's just something to keep an eye on, like you said. So good shout.
Thanks, man.
So yeah, my feature guy here is Josh Allen. He's my edge and my DL for one behind Nick Bosa and one ahead of Myles Garrett. I mean, I don't like to state the obvious. It's more useful when we talk about some of the sort of up and comers. But I'm giving my way some leeway here because I just want to talk about one of my favorite guys this year, and it's Allen. Allen is that guy. He's had 60 pressures, 13 sacks, and he's got a 17.8% pressure rate. It's just been pretty cool, pretty fun to watch. You know, the knock earlier in the season was that his production kind of comes in bunches, and that was kind of fair. But at this point, when we're in week 13 and we're talking about four multi-sack games, three of which have been three-sack games, that point becomes kind of redundant. And then you add in the fact that he's playing against the Bengals this week, a team that's allowed more sacks in the last 3 weeks than every team in the league except for the Panthers, Jets, and Giants. I mean, there's very little not to love here. Kyle, any thoughts to add on this one?
Oh, you nailed it, man. He's been having a fantastic year. He's about to get himself paid some big time money. And like you said, you know, he gets the knock of all his sacks come in bunches, but I'll take him when he gets them because he'll win you weeks. And he's turning into a premier pass rusher. And I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. And again, like you said, you nailed it against Cincinnati. It could be one of those big weeks, and I want him in my lineup.
Yeah, just Jake Browning just kind of makes it more exciting for me, yeah. Where Allen's concerned, I guess. So, So, any other defensive linemen you think could have a good week?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the Miami well here and talk about Mr. Andrew Van Ginkle. You know, we talked about Jalen Phillips being out. He should be tasked with filling that voided edge from the Miami defense once again, like he did earlier in the year. The three games Phillips was inactive for earlier this season, week 2, 4, and 5, Van Ginkle had 82% snap share. He had four sacks over those three games. And, you know, as I said with Chubb, and you alluded to as well, the plus matchup with Washington and Van Ginkle could be a waiver wire darling down the stretch after this too, with Tennessee and the Jets next up after this Washington matchup. So big on Van Ginkle this week as well. And then last one here, Jermaine Johnson from the Jets. Johnson, he's had a pretty solid second season for the Jets defense. A couple tough matchups the past few weeks against Buffalo and Miami. Much better matchup in week 13 against Atlanta. They are number one overall points allowed to the defensive end position of football guys scoring. So I like Johnson as like a DL edge two type. I have him going in quite a few spots too, so I need him to hit.
Yeah. Good shouts. I'd feel more comfortable about Johnson if the Falcons had allowed any sacks in their last two, but that Jets pass rush unit is far superior to anything that they've faced in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, I love that call. And Van Ginkle, yes, he's also a Mike Quick list. So, again, great minds. It's just the only reservation I've got with him is, you know, how many snaps is he going to see as a pure edge rusher? But, you've got to look that. Well, they've got to look back, I think, at his production earlier in the year, and they'd be silly not to go back to that well, I think. He's too good in that role to not utilize in that way. So,
yeah, I think it's a great point too. Like, yeah, we're kind of wondering what the snap share looks like, but you're right, man. If you look back at how successful he was filling in earlier, you got to think they give him enough looks out there, right? So let's hope they are happy with what they saw and put him right back there.
Him. I also had David Onyemata here. I know he's been a bit boom or bust this year, not just in terms of his sack rate, but his pressures, his pressure numbers as well. But if he's going to get it done, I think this week could be it. His matchup against the Jets is really tasty. They've surrendered the second most sacks on a per game basis this year, and that rate is increasing if you look back over the last three weeks. Onyemata, I'm so on the player this year in terms of what he's done. But yeah, that matchup's too good to ignore.
Yeah, I like that Onyemata call. I got him in a couple of those DT leagues, required leagues, true position leagues, and he's been nice, a nice pickup this year, and I think this could be a really nice week for him. So I totally dig that call.
Yeah. So defensive lineman we're not keen on for week 13. Give me a name. I realized I sounded like that guy that was training Arya in Game of Thrones. Give a name, any name. What was his name? Jalen. Hagar, something like that.
Yeah. I watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, give me a name, a defensive lineman you don't like.
So the name I'm going to throw to you here is Nick Benito for Denver. This is a case where I'm worried about chasing points depending on your options. Benito was a pleasant surprise earlier this season when he was seeing steady 60-70%+ snap shares, piled up 5.5 sacks in weeks 2-5. So that was awesome early in the year, right? But since Baron Browning has returned, Benito has seen his volume dip. Over the last three games, here's kind of what the Denver pass rush snap shares look like. Jonathan Cooper is at 71%, Baron Browning at 66%, and Nick Benito at just 49%. Benito had a great week 12, 1.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, generated 9 pressures in a solid matchup against Cleveland. However, prior to that week, to last week, Benito had a 5-game sack drought with just 8 tackles and a tackle for loss over the span. Benito's a talented player. We saw that this past week, he had a nice game. So he's, we know he's got some talent, but the volume just hasn't been ideal lately. IDP managers thinking he's going to go back on a heater like he did earlier in the season could be disappointed. He draws a matchup against Houston in week 13, who are about middle of the road and ranked 21st in points allowed to defensive ends in Football Guys scoring.
Yeah, this is a good call for the exact reasons you mentioned. And he's an odd one. He can look really good on right. face value. His pressure rate is excellent. The sack mm-hmm. numbers are very good, considering he's been, like you say, a part-time player for a while now since Baron Browning returned. But it's only when you take a closer look that some of the shine is taken off of that resume a little bit. 5 of his 7 sacks have come up against some really terrible offensive lines.
Yeah.
And I mean, they all count, right?
Yeah.
Every edge rusher plays against some bad offensive lines at point, but it does hurt him a little bit in my eyes. And also his win rate is only 18%, which ranks 38th amongst all edge rushers, even after what was, as you pointed out, his best game of the season last week against the was it the Browns he played?
Yeah. Yep. Cleveland.
And had his. Highest win rate by far, still only 18%, which is pretty low. Can he keep it up? What we saw last week and carve out a bigger role? I'd have more confidence if we'd seen him string together a bunch of games like that, not just those ones against terrible offensive lines, but games against teams like Cleveland who have a pretty good pair of offensive tackles. I'm not sure, but I'm with you, and for that reason, I've got him ranked as I think he's an edge 4 or there or thereabouts in my week 13 rankings. I need to see him have more volume, and to do that, he'd need to eat into Jonathan Cooper or Baron Browning's snap share. It's not something I'm super confident is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, man. And like you said, he took advantage of the matchups, which you should. But that stretch where he was really quiet there, and then a boom game, you're like, oh, is he back? It's like, don't really want to bank on that. Like you said, you want to see a little bit more stability in the production and the snap share. So,
exactly. You put it way better than I did.
I don't know about that.
So my guy is Boye Mafe. He's my edge 19 or DL 25, one behind Jermaine Johnson, one ahead of Shaquille Barrett. And I've got to admit, I don't like suggesting people fade him this week because I really like the guy. He had that amazing run of a sack in like 7 games straight between weeks 3 and 10. He still had 8 pressures in the 2 games since, despite not having a sack. And like I say, been really impressed with how he's looked this year. Unfortunately for him, he's playing against the Cowboys this week, arguably the most in-form offensive line in the league. A team that's not allowed a single sack in their last, I want to say 3 games. I might be exaggerating. It might be 2, but wow. Admittedly, they haven't faced a dominant pass rushing team lately. But 0 sacks still allowed over that period is impressive all the same. So the bottom line, really, I like Mafe. I've been impressed with how he stepped up in the absence of Uchenna Nwosu, but I just don't like his matchup. Kyle, thoughts? Agree or disagree?
No, I'm with you, man. I was looking at Boye Mafe for my list as well. Yeah, you know, I do like Mafe as well. I struggle to recommend good players. I think guys I think are good players. But, you know, he had that great run, seven in a row. Like you said, seven games in a row with the sack. Cool off lately in the matchup this week. It isn't ideal at all. I don't think it's a week where he's going to get it back going. So I'm totally with you on Mafe, although I do like the player as well. But, yeah, not overly excited about his outlook this week either.
All good. Yeah, it's a shame, but it is what it is. Yeah. We have to call it as we see it, right?
Right.
So who's on your quick list of dislikes at the DL spot this week?
So the first one hits home for me. It's Preston Smith from Green Bay. It's been a slow couple weeks for Smith against the Chargers and Detroit. Not a ton going on in the box score. And this week he has a tough matchup against Kansas City. Mahomes just doesn't take too many sacks. It's a tough matchup. And I just don't see a ton of upside with Smith this week. He's just a volume play if you have to type deal. And then the Washington pass rushers, Casey Tuhill and KJ Henry. Both Tuhill and Henry had a sack against the poor Giants offensive line in week 11, but failed to do much of anything against Dallas in week 12, who you alluded to as a really strong offensive line. And I'm expecting more of the same in a tough matchup against Miami in week 13. Miami should get up early in the game script. Likely won't be ideal for them to get home even in the second half with volume. Even with six teams on a bye, I'm looking anywhere else.
Yeah. Are you slight tangent, but obviously you're a big Packers fan. Where do you stand on the Preston Smith rest of season sort of outlook, and how do you see the guy like the likes of Lucas Van Ness coming on over the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, I think Preston Smith, he's a solid, you know, NFL player. He's been an okay IDP asset as well. I like Van Ness is really starting to figure it out a little bit lately. He's looked a lot better, and they're kicking him inside some as well. He's playing on the edge, and they'll slide him in, which he did at Iowa, and he can get low and really penetrate if you give him that single gap to just create havoc, right? And so, yeah, I think Smith's going to continue to have a pretty solid role, but Van Ness is in the mix, and they're moving him around a little bit. And Kingsley Anagbare is in there as well. You know, he's done enough to warrant snaps as well. So, you know, Smith could lose some, but I think he'll have a solid role, you know, down the stretch here. If things start to go, you know, Green Bay is trending up a little bit right now, and we're still in the hunt to get a playoff spot. If things go the other way, maybe at the end of the year, they give Van Ness a little more run on the edge, you know, get him a little more experience, who knows. But yeah, you know, I think Smith will be pretty decently involved as he usually is, but he could cede some snaps absolutely to Van Ness and Anagbare if things kind of continue as they are, they keep playing well, or, you know, we get out of the playoff hunt. So,
yeah, I'd be interesting to watch, but yeah, I just wanted to pick your brains as I said, yeah. You're a big, big Packers fan. So keen on your perspective. So the guys, I've got a few defensive linemen who have dropped in my rankings. The first guy I want to talk about is Leonard Williams. I've got to confess, I wanted to mention him here because I mistakenly thought he had a sack last week. And when I saw his matchup with the Cowboys, I wanted to warn people off of him this week. But when I circled back around again, I realized he didn't, in fact, have a sack. He got close, generated a ton of pressure on Tim Boyle, but he never actually got home. So I doubt many have him in their lineups, even this week with a diminished pool of players. But if anyone is feeling tempted, I'd caution against starting him. He's maybe a pretty easy one. Jonathan Allen is my next guy. He's kind of got it together again lately after a bit of a barren spell. But I've dropped him in my rankings because the Dolphins' offensive line, or rather Tua, isn't in the habit of taking many sacks. They've allowed, I think, two or fewer in 8 out of 11 games this year, which is a pretty horrible number if you're looking to start those defensive linemen against the Dolphins. So, yeah, fading Jonathan Allen as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on those calls. Leonard Williams, I was hoping for a little bit of juice for him going to play in Seattle, leaving that Giants team, but it just hasn't been ideal at all, you know, for us IDP gamers, you know, since he made the move. But and then, yeah, Jonathan Allen, just a tough matchup against Miami this week as well.
For sure. Okay, Mr. Betherfuel, let's talk some defensive backs. We're into defensive back territory. Who are you hyping this week?
First guy I'm gonna hype up is a guy I have on quite a few rosters is Kevin Byard from Philadelphia. Now, Byard has been balling his last two games since coming out of Philly's Week 10 bye. He's got 21 tackles, 17 solos, and an interception over that two-game stretch. His alignment has also been encouraging over those two games, as he spent about 65% of his snaps up in the box and slot areas. So just really good stuff right there. Byard draws a plus matchup against San Francisco in Week 13. They are top five of points allowed to the safety position via Football Guys scoring, and they have been generous in the tackle department to safeties as well. I think the good times will keep rolling with Byard, and I like him as a DB or safety one this week. And Byard's a player I'm eager to watch in this premier NFC battle between Philly and San Francisco in Week 13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I love the core. I'm a big Byard fan. I think it was like two weeks ago, week 11, Gary Davenport named Byard as one of his guys that he liked for the week. In what could have been a tough matchup against the Chiefs, but he actually correctly predicted that Byard would get his first interception. I think it was his first interception of the season, and yeah, when I saw it happen, I was okay. That's pretty impressive, or just super lucky. I don't know.
Hell of a call either way.
Yeah, Gary's obviously very good at what he does. Yeah, so he was for sure. It was a good shout. Yeah. And obviously, you know, we followed that up with a big week in week 13, 12 against the Bills. 14 combined tackles and a pass breakup. There's just a lot to like about what he's done this year. Tackle volume has been there. We're starting to see those big plays too. Yeah, I love the call. My featured guy is Reed Blankenship, his teammate. He's my safety and DB3 this week, one behind the amazing Jesse Bates and one ahead of Buddha Baker. I love what Blankenship has done this year. He's been predominantly a deep safety, which can sometimes mean more inconsistency, but he's been as consistent as anyone at the position in many ways. Seven or more tackles in every game except one. He's mixed in enough big plays as well, two interceptions, six pass breakups, which in fact leads all safeties. He's tied for the safety lead in that category. I think when you combine those points with the fact that he's playing against the 49ers this week, a team that has allowed the highest rate of tackles to opposition safeties, I think you've got a recipe for a good week. What say you, Carl?
I dig it, man. I have Blankenship on a few teams too, and I've been enjoying the ride. He's been an excellent pickup this year. He might have got off waivers early on before the season started, or as it kicked off. And hey, Eagle safeties for the win this week, Jace. Let's go, buddy.
Oh, all the way.
All the way.
All the way. So who else do you like at the DB position this week?
So I have Justin Reed, Kansas City. Reed's having a solid year, 16 tackles, 13 solos, and a tackle for loss over his last couple of games here. Favorable matchup against Green Bay in week 13. I like him as a solid DB2 this week. And then Devin Witherspoon, corner for Seattle. I'm just such a fan of this kid. He was a blast to watch in college at Illinois. I'm in Big Ten country, so I have to see plenty of him. Just a total blast to watch. He's balling out in the big show for us now, for us IDP gamers now, having an impressive rookie season, both in the NFL and for us IDP players. He should be busy against Dallas in week 13. He's a CB1 until further notice. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. I think he's actually my overall CB1 this week. And he hasn't really been out of the top three, top five for for quite a while now. But yeah, I think he had an injury. Did he have an injury? I can't remember.
Dinged up at some point, I think. Yeah.
He's been right there. He's been awesome, hasn't he? And like you say, just a lot of fun to watch.
He is.
And not just productive in a fantasy sense. I know this is a fantasy show, but actually really, really good as well. Which is great to see. So yeah, I love that call. I mean, I'm biased, but I've got a couple of what I think are solid choices on my list too. It starts with Jordan Whitehead. I mentioned him last week, and I'll do it again this week because, well, it's my show and I can.
Do whatever you want.
You know, he's had a couple of quiet weeks after that opening, that huge opening game of the season. But that happens to all DBs, and he's got a bit ahead of steam again now with three solid games in a row. The Falcons are an average matchup for opposition safeties, but I feel like Whitehead has as good a chance as any to have a decent game here. So I like him. Cameron Curl, I mean, he's not exactly a big play safety. Everybody knows that. So in certain scoring systems, he may struggle to keep up with the Jesse Bates and the Kyle Hamiltons of the world. But if tackles are king in your scoring format, Curl will be right up there. He's got a favorable matchup against the Dolphins this week. They rank something like fifth in tackle rate to opposition safeties. So I just like him to keep doing what he usually does, really, and producing solid tackle volume for a safety.
No, man, I totally dig those calls. I have a good amount of Jordan Whitehead on a few of my rosters too, man. He's a player I like as well. And then, yeah, Cam Curl, man. Like you said, if your league is, you know, a little tackle heavy scoring-wise, he is, you know, just an excellent start each week because that's what he does. Just nice floor, and he helps you win that position. So, yeah, I like those calls.
I mean, so the occasional big play would be great. Would be nice, see, but we know where we are with him. And
you want to get too greedy, but we'll take it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I want to get greedy.
Let's get greedy. Get a pick sixes, Curl. Let's go.
Pick sixes, force fumbles, sacks. Come on. But yeah, no, we know where we're at with him, and we're happy with it. It's nice to have someone who's reliable because it is such an unreliable and inconsistent position. To have a guy who's not, you know, all over the place and a little less volatile than others is really good to see. So we're on to the final segment, the DBs we're downplaying in week 13. Kyle, who is your featured guy here?
All right, my featured dude is Jair Brown for San Francisco. Brown stepped in for Talanoa Hufanga after he went down with an unfortunate ACL injury in week 11. He had a solid debut with his scoring, mostly aided by him grabbing his first career interception against Tampa Bay. In week 12, he played all 56 snaps against Seattle. He spent 47 of those deep at free safety, was only able to produce four tackles, one solo that week. It's always exciting when a rookie flashes, right? And makes a little noise, but I'm just not overly excited about Brown right now for redraft, especially, you know, as the 49ers don't typically produce big time IDP producers at the safety position for us. Hufanga had broken that mold a bit, but even he had been a bit up and down this year before he did get hurt. So I'm only rolling out Brown if I have to, even in a favorable matchup against Philadelphia this week.
Yeah. I think I like Brown. I think he'll become a really good player in time. I like how hard the 49ers were kind of banging the drum for him. After they selected him. I know that's the case with most teams when they're talking about their selections, but it was, that you could tell that there was some genuine love for him in the building after they selected him. But like you say, he's been an inefficient tackler, small sample size, but inefficient so far. And that could be because he's lined up almost exclusively as a deep safety.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for him, but I don't recommend starting him unless you're desperate. I've got him ranked as my safety 38 and DB 52 for those very reasons.
Right on, man. And I'm with you, dude. I do like the player, Jair Brown, and a little bit optimistic about, you know, having him on your dynasty roster. He's a fun player at Penn State. I got to see plenty of him, like I said, being a Big Ten country. He was fun to watch. But, yeah, like, it's, you know, redraft, and right now, it's always – we get excited when these rookies kind of flash for us because we got that dynasty mindset too.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm just not looking to roll him out in redraft as well. But, dude, I'm with you. I do kind of like the player, and I'm intrigued by him going forward. But not ready to roll him out yet.
Makes total sense. So the featured guy I've got on my dislike list this week is Richie Grant. And I kind of like what he's done this year for the most part. He's a, you know, he's a full-time player, spends a healthy amount of his time in the box, close to the line of scrimmage, but he's, you know, he's not exactly a threat to record many splash plays. That's kind of okay because the tackle numbers are healthy, but the reason I'm nominating him here is because of his matchup. For the most part, the Falcons are playing the Jets this week. The Jets have allowed so few tackles to opposition safeties, and that tackle rate has only become worse in the last three games. So, yeah, you're probably going to still start Grant. If we're honest about this, he's a lot better than a lot of the other options out there. I'm not saying don't start him, but I wouldn't be surprised if his output did suffer a little this week. Where do you stand on Grant, Carl?
Yeah, I think you laid it out perfectly. He's tough to sit because you've probably been using him quite a bit, but the matchup isn't great. So, yeah, just kind of like temper expectations right for the week. So, I'm totally with you, man. It's an excellent call.
It was an excellent call.
Dang right.
Any other DBs you dislike this week?
Yes. Here's an excellent couple calls, right? Donovan Wilson from Dallas. Me and Josh Raymer talked about it on the waiver show the other night, Monday night. Wilson, he was dinged up to start the year, and he's been back getting some decent volume, but he just isn't quite hitting the mark, even with that decent volume. And it's a bummer because he was coming off that 101 tackle campaign in 2022, where he was really productive for us IDP players. But matchup against Seattle week 13 isn't overly exciting for safeties, I guess. And Jaron Kearse will be back this week as well. And Kearse missed last week with a back injury. So that add that to the mix. And I just kind of one of those things, I need to see it with Wilson before I trust him at this point. And then lastly is cornerback Darius Williams for Jacksonville. Williams started off the year red hot, but has just three tackles and two passes defended over his last three games. He's also been targeted just seven times over those three games. Pretty meh matchup against Cincinnati and Jake Browning in week 13. He could be in for another low output week, and there likely are better other options out there at the cornerback position. So I recommend going to see Johnny the Greek in his cornerback corner article and find yourself one and, get yourself in the right spot at the cornerback position. Shout out, Johnny.
Yeah, great shouts on all three of those. So Wilson, Williams, and Johnny. I like that. You stole the only point I was going to make about Donovan Wilson with Kearse returning this week. Going to be sort of seeing Wilson sort of drop back to that sort of 80% role, which makes him, yeah, just not too exciting a DB option when there's just so many other options at that position, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll close this out with my two guys I'm fading this week, and it starts with a really popular player actually in Lajarius Sneed. It's been another good season for him in fantasy terms. Tackle efficiency is slightly down on last year, if I'm honest, but last year was so exceptional in that case that I'm not surprised to see some drop off. But the main reason I've got him here this week is again matchup related. The Packers, they allow more tackles than normal to the Lions corners last week, but they still rank among the bottom three teams in tackling efficiency to opposition corners. Thank you, John. But again, look, you probably want to start Sneed. He's still my like CB3, CB4 this week, but he's dropped in my rankings because of that matchup. I'm not as high on him as I normally am, is the best way of putting it. And my next guy and our final guy, actually, Carl, is Andre Sisco. You mentioned with Darius Williams, he started well and then kind of faded away. That's very much the case with Sisco as well. And as I look back over my rankings in the last month, I realized that he's consistently fallen each week. And in fact, you know, he might not have even been listed at all this time around if we weren't talking about six teams on a bye. His first four games, he had 21 tackles, two interceptions, and a forced fumble. In his last four games, less than half the number of tackles and a sack. So, yeah, I'm more inclined to believe that's just who he is, the guy we've seen lately, given that, you know, he struggled for tackle numbers in the same scheme last year and with the same DC in Mike Caldwell.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with Cisco. I've cooled off on him, especially since, you know, like you said, his production's dipped, and it just looks like it's going to stay that way, right, until we see differently. And also, yeah. I love that you're a little down on Legarius Sneed, because he can just chill out this week and, you know, just get some cardio, run around a little bit against Green Bay, and just take it easy, man. Go have some Gatorade and get a little run in, and don't do much.
Yeah, just sit on the bench for a bit. And
yeah, take it easy on us.
Yeah, just take it easy. Any expectations for this game? What are your predictions?
Ah, man, you know, it was a big win against Detroit on Thanksgiving. I wasn't holding much hope going into that game, but we played really well. It was our best game, I think, of the year. Jordan Love looked good. Rashawn Gary was an animal. That's going to have to happen again if we're going to beat the Chiefs. I just hope it's a good game. I don't know which Green Bay team's going to show up, but I'm just hoping for a good game on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, it's always fun when you get to watch Patrick Mahomes. You just hope he doesn't shred your defense. But hopefully Rashawn Gary just keeps it rolling and makes it tough on him.
Yeah, he did look insane the other day. You must have been so happy settling into your turkey, just watching the Packers destroy and Rashawn Gary just single-handedly destroy.
Yeah.
Goff's world. It was from an IDP fan perspective and a neutral, it was fun to watch in that sense.
It was, man. I had happy beers instead of drowning my sorrow beers, so it was nice.
So look, I mean, that brings us to the end of the show today. Thanks for coming on. I can see why everybody wants you on their show. it's been a lot of fun, huh?
Oh, man, thanks for having me, Jace. This was a blast, dude. I really appreciate you having me on. It's always fun getting to talk ball with you, man. This was a blast.
Anytime, my man. As I said to you off show, you're loved around these parts. You know that.
I appreciate that, man. You're too kind.
So please let the people know where they can find you and your fantasy content.
Oh, right on, man. Yeah, I'm over at footballguys.com. I contribute to the IDP waiver wire report. It's now an integrated tool on the website. It used to be article form. So I contribute to that. And so does Aaron Rudnicki with the upgrade downgrade IDP player. So that's something kind of new and cool that's on the website. And also I am updating my dynasty ranks here and there too, trying to keep those fresh because we're hitting that time of year where, you know, I have a few teams out there that aren't looking so hot. So I'm looking for names that are floating around that could be, prospective young talent for next year. So trying to get those up to date, you know, because people are going to start snooping around those a little bit here. So
good stuff. I mean, it almost goes without saying, but Kyle is a must follow. He's wonderful. Can't get enough of him. If you want to follow me, you can find me on X at Jace Abbey. My weekly rankings are available to subscribers on theidpshow.com. As always, thanks for tuning in. Your support is the reason we do this. And I'll be back again next week to do this all over again with a focus on those week 14 rankings. Bye for now.